Our brother Jason Jenkins is to bring us the word of exhortation this morning. And in connection with his remarks, teaching on worries, he's asked that we turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking one thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thoughts for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's give our attention to our brother Jason. Again, his remarks, teaching on worries.
Good morning. I was going over this week trying to decide what I was going to talk on, and I came across this subject, teaching on worry, or being worried, or anxious, or stress. I think I've got this one pretty well down pat. How many of us every day have a worry about how we're going to pay our bills, how we're going to take care of our families, how we're going to go to the doctor, and you're waiting for that result to come back, and you just sit there and worry. And it's what you do with that worry and how you deal with it and who you call on to make that worry go away. I want to first start out by reading a few scriptures on it, and then we'll get into the talk. Let's turn to Luke 12. Luke 12. Starting with verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall ye eat? Neither for the body, what shall you put on? The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? And if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And if then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need for all these things. but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags, wax not old, treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's also turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Let's go to Psalms 56. Psalm 56, starting with verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. In God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they rest my words, all their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape iniquity? Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down thy people, the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy body bottle, and now and they not in the book. Let's also go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's go to Matthew 11. Starting with verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What is the meaning of the word worry? It's a state of anxiety and uncertainty over actual or potential problems. Jesus prohibited worrying in a familiar portion of the Sermon on the Mount, which is found in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Three times in this short passage, he commanded, "Do not worry." And the way he said it shows the comprehensiveness of his charge. In verse 25, he acknowledges worry as a common practice and says to stop worrying. And in verses 31 and 34, he uses the same word, but in a way that means do not even start worrying. To continue worrying about anything or to start worrying in the first place is to violate the Lord's command. And if you worry, what kind of faith do you manifest? Little faith, according to Jesus. Let's turn to Matthew 6. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, Shall he not much more clothe you, O ye little faith? Because of worrying, many make foolish life decisions, incurring painful consequences. Worrying is devastating. But most important than that, worrying does to you is what you are communicating about God. When you worry, you are saying in effect, God, I just don't think I can trust you. Worry strikes a blow at the person and the character of God. Apostle Paul reflects a similar desire in Ephesians. Let's turn there, Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 18 and 19. Thine eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what it is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. When we worry, we are not trusting our heavenly Father. Take heart, there is an effective remedy. Study the Word of God to find out who He really is and how He has supplied the needs of His people in the past. This will build confidence for the future and stay fresh in the Word of God every day so that God is in our minds. Let God's track record in Scripture and in our own life assure that worrying is needless because of God's bounty. It's senseless because of God's promise. It's useless because it's lacking power to do anything productive. And it's faithless because it is the characteristic of unbelievers. Let's turn back to Matthew 6. And we'll read verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. He was saying, don't worry about the future. Even though it will have its share of problems, they have a way of working themselves out at the time. Just deal with them as they come, for there's no way to solve the problem in advance. Providing for tomorrow is good, but worrying about tomorrow is a sin. Because God is the God of tomorrow, just like He is the God of today. When you worry, it ultimately turns into stress. Let's turn to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth over understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. The Lord tells us not to be anxious about anything, but rather to turn everything over to Him in prayer. Lifting our burdens and concerns to a holy and righteous God daily will mitigate or eliminate the stress and worries of our lives. Let's turn back to Psalms 55. And we'll read verse 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee, and He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Christ offers peace if we come to Him with our worries and concerns. Let's now turn to John 14. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you unto you, not as the world giveth. Give I unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stress and the worries of this world are a natural part of life, but how we deal with it is up to us. If we choose to try to do it on our own, we face a long uphill battle that will not end well. The only way we can deal with the worries and the stresses is with the Lord, with our Lord and Savior. First, by believing in Him. Without believing in Him, we are on our own, and success in coping with stress is almost impossible. Second, we need to trust in Him and obey Him. We should trust in Him to do what is right, because His ways are always best for us. Disobedience and sin can produce stress, and it cuts off from the only means of peace and joy. By obeying His commandments, we reap the blessings of true contentment from a loving God. It is only by His grace, mercy, and love that the stress and worries in our lives can be managed. Jesus offers us a great encouragement. Let's turn to John 14. Turn back to John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. We desperately need Him in our lives. We need because He is the only one who can give us the strength to cope with the troubles in our lives. Believing in Him does not mean that we will have trouble, free life, a trouble-free life, or that we will not succumb to stress in our lives. It simply means that a life without Jesus makes coping with stress and worries impossible, and often a debilitating task. And finally, let's go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you.
You know, it is easy to get wrapped up and concerned in the cares of all matters. But I think the strength of what our Lord says there in verse 33 of that chapter 6 of Matthew, and I think Rotherham words it just a bit different, is, but first, keep seeking the kingdom of God. It's not something we do on a Sunday morning or on a Wednesday night. It's something that's to be continual in our life. And if our focus is there, then those troubles and worries are not going to bother us as much. Thank you, Brother Jason. Let's enter into our memorial service with the singing of hymn number 153. By Christ redeemed and Christ restored, we keep the memory adored. Hymn number 153. The Orlando Ecclesia's basis of fellowship is exclusively the unamended statement of faith, and we welcome those who believe and adhere to those doctrines and commandments stated therein. We know the present position of our Lord is as high priest, which was typified in many aspects with the Aaronic priesthood. But under that Mosaic dispensation, the high priest did not offer an atonement for and intercede on behalf of the whole world. It was for the house of Israel, and only then when they were obedient to the law. Being the antitype of the Jewish high priest, Jesus is described in Hebrews 10 and verse 21 as a high priest over the house of God. This we know is a spiritual house, which includes Jew and Gentile, for they are all saints in Christ Jesus, as Paul so frequently used in his greetings. We note the distinction in that the Aaronic high priest had to offer sacrifice every time they interceded for the people. But our Lord did this but once. The Aaronic priest offered blood of animals, which could not wash away sins. But Jesus offered his own blood, and therefore Paul writes in Hebrews 9 and verse 12, neither by the blood of goats or of calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption. Under the law, the high priest entered once every year into the most holy, a temple made with hands. Jesus entered into its antitype, even heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yahweh for us. Again, only for the members of the household. Hence the Apostle John writes in 1 John, if any man sin, those he was writing to, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. That is, for the sins of the disciples to whom he was addressing, and also for the sins of the world, as recorded in verse 2. Our Lord's offering is adequate for every need, and it is available to all, but all do not avail themselves of it. When Aaron made the offering of a sacrifice for the people, it was required that he first make an atonement for himself. Paul again offers the antitype as described in Hebrews 7 and verse 27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered up himself. So we find in contrast that the Aaronic high priest offered sacrifices daily. Jesus did this but once. They offered sacrifices first for themselves and then for the people. This was done by our Lord in one act when he offered up himself. Aaron's sacrifice was rendered necessary by his sinful nature and his personal transgression, whereas Jesus Christ, being undefiled by personal sin, did not require a cleansing for that transgression. However, being from the seed of a woman, a member of that sinful race, as such, he inherited a nature which had been defiled by the introduction of sin into the world. Paul writes, for he was made like unto his brethren in all things. Through obedience to his Father and submitting to the crucifixion, he was brought under the curse of the law. He required to be cleansed and was affected by the shedding of his own blood, the result being that he was freed from Adamic condemnation under which he was born and the Mosaic curse under which he suffered death. Thereby a foundation was laid for liberating all faithful Jews and Gentiles from that same bondage. Once the high priest entered the Most Holy to make an offering for the Jews, the people waited outside for him to return to learn if the offering of blood was accepted and their sins forgiven. We, brethren, await the reappearance of our high priest, even Jesus the Christ. We know that none of our Lord's household can receive the reward until he reappears out of that antitypical holy of holies. Then he will pronounce a blessing upon the worthy and condemnation upon the unworthy. Not until this authoritative declaration will the effect of Jesus Christ's mediatorial office behind the veil be fully known by his disciples. Let's turn to the account in Matthew 26. Matthew 26, starting at verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Brother Aaron Strickland, would you offer thanks for the bread, please? Brother Dave Pirtle, would you offer thanks for the wine, please? We'll close our meeting with the singing of hymn number 1, "After Thy Loving Kindness, Lord, Have Mercy Upon Me," after which we'll call on Brother Daniel Stevens to offer a closing word of prayer. Don't forget.